If you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, take it, please, and turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. As you're getting your place there, if you don't have a Bible, by the way, there's a copy of God's Word probably in the pew in front of you. Take it and feel free to use it. Turn into the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. As I'm getting ready to share the message this morning, I read something this week that kind of fits right in here. It was a magazine for Christian leaders and pastors. And it had a cartoon drawn in it, and it showed a pastor peering out of the little peephole anxiously from inside a World War II-style bunker, which was behind the pulpit. And the well-protected pastor announced, "My text for today is 1 Peter, chapter number 3. And that's kind of how I feel this morning, to be honest with you. You'll see why here in just a moment. This passage is one that is specifically written to women. When God wrote these words, he was not trying to be politically correct, okay? So the things that you're going to hear today, if they were put in alongside something you would hear like on The View, which you probably don't watch that mess anyway, but or on mainstream media or just from the popular opinion of the day, the things that you're going to read here in just a moment, we're going to read together, are drastically different from what our world would say about this subject matter. And because that's true, that means a believer, somebody who knows Christ, is going to have to work extra hard. Anytime you find that great conflict between where the world is and what the world believes and what the world says and teaches, and what God says and what God teaches and what God says we are to believe, anytime you see one of those instances in your life and there's this huge conflict between the two, then as a believer in Christ, you are going to have to work extra hard to get it right. Because everything around you is going to be constantly trying to press you. In Sunday school, we're in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 right now in our study. And it says, "Be not conformed to this world." This world is constantly trying to force the believer in Christ, the Christian, constantly trying to force them into its little mold that is built for us. And it's an ongoing, a constant battle. And now as Christians, we are called to be salt and light in this world. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ to a world that's lost and dying in its sin and ultimately is headed towards eternal damnation. And God's called us as believers. By the way, he could have done it differently. He could have said, "You know what, I'm going to make special angels to go down and talk to people about salvation. Or I'm just going to make it so every morning when you wake up, the sun's going to sing the gospel to you." He could have done anything he wanted to. But God chose to give that responsibility of taking the gospel to a group of people that are most certainly flawed. If you believe that, say amen. We are. And God chose to give that to us. So now, as believers in Christ, we are going to have a daily battle just to keep from being squished into the world's mold. And I'm going to tell you, the subject matter I'm talking about today, if there is anything that is like black and white when you compare what God's Word says to what the world says, you're going to find this morning that you're going to be like, "That is so different from what I hear every day and what I see every day and even probably what I experience every day in this life." But nonetheless, this is not a word from your pastor, though I'm the one preaching the message today. This is actually a word to the women, and it's actually coming from God. He wrote it for you. If you're a woman today, say, amen. All right, it's for you, okay? This is for you. So let's jump in here. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And don't go to sleep while I'm reading because I'll wake you up, all right? Hang with me. We're going to read these verses this morning, so you'll know what I'm talking about and make sure you know where it came from. So 1 Peter chapter number 3, God's word says this. "Likewise," now I got to stop. Yeah, it's just like he's simply going to read and he says one word and he stops. Of course, the reason that word "likewise" is there is Peter has already given us a whole lot of different instructions for the Christian life. He's writing to believers here. He's already told us a lot of things that we need to know. And the theme has been, you learn to be subject to those who God has placed in authority over you. That's the subject matter. He has talked about being subject to those who are your employers or your boss, so to say. He's talked about being subject to those who are in governmental authority. God has taught us those things. And by the way, those are the responsibilities of every believer. If you believe that, say, I got it. Now, that's not where he stops, because he says, likewise, he's about to drop a bombshell on us. Okay? So hang in there. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right, here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. I will read past the first word this time. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. We'll describe that in a moment. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the adorning, the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, verse 4, but let it be the hidden woman of the heart. I know it says man there, but it's to the women. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. This isn't new, by the way, ladies. Verse number 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I need to stop and preach there for a moment. All you wives, call your husbands Lord. No, that's not what we're teaching here. Hang on. Just hang with us. She obeyed Abraham, called him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Verse 7. Likewise, there's got to be something for the husbands, of course. So you're going to hang in here, guys, because I'm coming to you in a lump. Brian, coming to you. All right, hang with me. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This morning, in this passage of Scripture, God presents to us through the Apostle Peter, he gives us what ultimately is God's design for the woman, in specifically, but then in particular, he gives some very, very detailed instructions for the wife. If you're a wife this morning, say, that's me. If you hope to be one of those one day, say, that's me. That was really quiet. I expected like a booming, like, amen, you know, something. No, God gives us here these instructions today so that the ladies can truly know who it is God's called them to be. He does not want us to be ignorant, and by all means, God does not desire that any of us go through this life and bring dishonor to him through our conduct in our lives. So he says, here's how you deal with this. You just tell them what it is that you want them to be. So as we jump into this passage this morning, there's three truths we're going to look at. And the first one, let me get back up here so I can read this great theological statement that I wrote for you today. Ladies, first and foremost, here's the first principle for you, the first truth. You have to learn the S word. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Subjection, or we use the word submission. This will probably be the most difficult thing that most women ever do. I'll go ahead and say that to begin with. The most difficult thing that most women ever do is dealing, it's ultimately deferring to and following your husband when you really don't have to. That's the kicker here. It's you choosing to follow your husband even when you don't have to, because the reality is you could probably, in many cases, do it better yourself. And the fella said, that's true. That's true. You see, God didn't say here, women be in subjection to, or women submit to your husbands because they're smarter than you. And the reality is, for most of us, I know this is true in the McCride household, most of us as men know that our wives are smarter than we are. I said it. We know that. But God didn't say we were going to have a talent show to determine who was going to lead the family, or that we were going to take a spelling bee. Thank God, James. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have to have a spelling bee. No spelling bee, no talent contest, no SAT test to see who scored the highest, and we're not going to by any means take a personality test. God says, here is how it's going to work. This is the way to make it like it's supposed to be. He said, wives, you learn to be in subjection to your husbands. If you got that, lady, say, I got it. And we can say amen and go home now, right? No. The hardest thing as a Christian woman that you'll ever do, deferring to and following your husband. And as I said, the difficulty is that you really don't have to. Something inside of you doesn't want to, right? Is that true? Talk about that in a moment. Something inside of you doesn't want to. But as a Christian wife, you must acknowledge the lordship of Christ and realize that his way is the right way. Every time. Man didn't write this, though they have been accused of doing so. We didn't. Man didn't write this. God did it for you. And you can trust him with your eternal soul and salvation and saying, God, I trust you to take me to heaven one day. And if by all means we can trust that, then most certainly we can trust God with knowing what is best for the husband and wife relationship. Now, let's talk about this for a moment. First, I said, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. And it is, for many reasons. I jokingly said that it might be that you're in a situation where, as the wife, you're really smarter than your husband. That happens a lot. Women are smarter. Thank God they are, because, you know, if my wife wouldn't have been so smart, she wouldn't have married me. Right? No, just kidding. Many times you may be smarter and more educated than your husband. It's difficult because your husband is a flawed individual. Isn't that true? All of us are sinners. And who knows the sin of a man more than the woman who lives with that man? True? Yeah, he's a flawed individual. And it's going to be so difficult to say, you know what? I am going to be in subjection to this man who God has put in my life just because God said to. That's hard. That's very hard. And many times, I have seen situations where wives have sat back and trying to be a godly lady and do things like they're supposed to. And by the way, this is God's word, and it's not my word. Trying to do things like God said, and then had to sit back and many times observe as their husband made many mistakes, whether it be with his jobs and his relationships with other people, whether it be with finances and making wrong decisions and doing things the wrong way, whether it be in a situation where in their own family he's not doing things correctly. Nonetheless, God has said, woman, wives, you place yourself in subjection to him. The word submit is used a lot, but often foolishly because people don't understand what it means. When God's word says that wives are to submit to their husbands, the word submit is often in people's mind pictured as that he has kind of forced you down into there. He grabbed you and made you. In other words, he's bigger than you. Now, I will say this. I may not be smarter than my wife, but I'm bigger than her, and I can beat her up, okay? Just so you know, I hadn't tried. I'm just in my mind, you know, and I'm not real smart, Brother Charles, but in my mind, I thought through. 238 pounds against 99 pounds? Yeah, I got her. Subjection is not that the husband has dropped the iron fist on the wife and he has beat her to death. Instead, it's not that she's weak and he's bigger than her. Subjection is truly a sign of great strength in a woman because she don't have to do it. See, it took me a long time to figure that out. Because when I was a young, vibrant Christian young man, and I was like, I'm going to get me a wife, and I'm going to tell her what to do, bless God. That's what I thought. I was wrong. She can't make her do anything. She's a free moral agent just like me. She has a brain, and she can choose to do what she wants to. But here's the deal. Submission is actually a wife choosing to place herself under her husband. Just because that's the way God said it was supposed to be. Ladies, you got to learn the S word. And it's not an easy one to swallow sometimes. That doesn't mean you're not smart. That doesn't mean you're not talented. It most certainly does not mean that you could not operate in this life without him. You might be able to do better in some areas without him. But it means that's the best way. Why? Because it's God's way. Now follow me here. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. Hang in here. You have to choose to put yourself in that place. He can't make you. I've seen husbands that tried to make their wife submit, and that gets ugly. You can't make them. No, ladies, your strength here is you choose as a Christian woman to place yourself in that position. And listen, that is a beautiful thing. That's who God made you to be. Quickly, a side note before I move on. This verse does not teach us here, listen to me, this verse does not teach us here that women as a whole, in any area of society, wherever they go, have to submit themselves to every male that they interact with or come into contact with. It does not say that. Can I get an amen? It doesn't say that. It does not say, the only directions that I understand, and I've read after others who said something similar, the only two directives that God gave about submitting to men by women is, number one, a wife to her husband, of course children, that could be a daughter, but then number two, submitting yourself to the men who lead your church. Those are both commands in Scripture. So whatever I say goes, bless it. No, no, not at all. It is a voluntary placing oneself under another. You got to learn that word. That word, submit. Say that, ladies. Got to know it. Without it, the home will not function like it's supposed to. Now, as I said in the beginning, I made the joke about the guy hiding in the World War II bunker. The reason that we look at it that way is because our society is so adamantly against even the very idea of what I'm saying right now. I mean, what he's saying to the feministic mindset of our society today is heresy in their minds to tell women that they are to put themselves under their husband and let him lead the household and let him be the ultimate person who makes decisions. That woman would be out of her mind, according to this world we live in. But God said, wives, be in subjection to your husbands. Guys, if you're smart, here's for the fellas. If you're smart, instead of trying to stomp down your wife's strengths and wisdom and intelligence and talents, you will learn to capitalize upon them. Here's what I mean. My wife is a whiz at accounting things. She's a whiz at many things, by the way. I could sit here and brag on her for hours. But she is a whiz at accounting things. She loves it. She worked in the bank system all through high school and college. She loves dealing with that kind of stuff. She's a whiz. So when we got married, again, I was a young man who thought I was going to tell her what to do. No, God helped me to understand how that worked quickly. Actually, she helped me, but he helped her help me, right? Okay. I discovered quickly in our relationship that's what she likes to do, and she's really good at it. And listen, when I was a bachelor, I didn't even write anything in the back of the checkbook. I thought that was for taking notes. If you got yourself in church and didn't have anything to write on, you could write notes back there. I never wrote anything. I knew I deposited a check in there, and there's X number of dollars in that account. And by the end of the week, I was like, have I spent X number of dollars yet? No, so we're good. That's how I did my finances when I was a bachelor. But my wife is brilliant in those things, and she has done a wonderful job of keeping up with all of that. So it's not that you cannot utilize, this is your pastor speaking, that you cannot utilize the strengths that your wife has. But ultimately, ladies, hear this. Let him be the one who makes the final decision. Now, why would we do that? Here's the answer. Because he is the one who will answer to God for it. Not you. And that is a freeing reality, ladies. That you could say, I'm going to let him take that shot because I don't have to. Wives, be in subjection to your husband. First truth here that we learned this morning is ladies have to learn to submit to their husbands. Now, that's not something that's forced upon you. It's not even something that you have to do. But for it to work like it's supposed to is what God says you should do. If you got that, say, I got it. Fellas, y'all are all scared to death. Y'all are like sweating, and it's like, oh, Lord, what we're going to do when we get home, you know? Number two. Ladies, remember what really matters most is not the outside, but the inside. Look at verse 3 with me here. All this is to the ladies, verse 3. Who's adorning? That means the way you dress yourself is what that word means. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. Now, if you took this the way some groups have taken this, and they say you can't wear jewelry and braid your hair and have hairdos and all that kind of stuff, if you took it to that extreme, then the third thing listed that they often leave out is putting on of apparel. And I promise you, by all means, please wear some clothes. Amen? Okay? So it's not telling us here that you can't wear clothes. You would be completely missing the whole point of the passage if that's what you got out of it. But look again in verse number 4. But let it be, he says, don't let it be your hair and your clothes and your perfume and your makeup. Instead, let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Remember, what really matters most is not the outside, but it's the inside. You see, again, our society has so taught our ladies, fellas, you can help them with this. Our society has so taught our ladies that it's all about what you look like out here. It's about the hairdo, it's about the makeup, it's about the shape, and it's about what you're wearing. And that's what makes you important or not important. That's what gives you value or not gives you value. Either you're very valuable because you're physically attractive and beautiful and in this world's eyes, sexy, if I can use their word. Or you're nothing and you don't mean anything and you have no value whatsoever. That's what the world says. It has placed all emphasis upon what you can see. And I know God made, if somebody's beautiful, God made them beautiful. But here's what I learned a long time ago. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You ever noticed that? Sometimes it's in a bottle. I wasn't going to say that, you know, Steve, but yeah. Yeah. Beauty is really in the eyes of the beholder. Beauty is to you what you accept beauty as being, what you think it is. So our world has sold us a bill of goods that has caused us to think that way. And now ladies go through life depressed, discouraged, beat down all the time because so-and-so on TV has told you this is how you have to look. And by the way, those people that you see on TV and those people and those pictures that you see on the magazine to checkout line, listen, they are fake. They're fake. They're not even real people. They have made them to look that way, whether it be by an artist or a makeup or a plastic surgeon. That is not who they really are. They are flawed just like we are. Miss Judy reminds me often, and I'll say this for her sake today. Most of us guys are looking for, a Coke figure bottle, and that's all we're concerned about. But later on, Miss Judy, what happens? They turn into a 2-liter. Exactly. I said that years ago, and Miss Judy never forgot it. She reminds me often. She tells me all the time. Anyway. But that's the lie of this world. And God warns us, and I'm going to stop joking because I've got to hurry or I'm going to be in trouble. God warns us here, be very careful that you don't place all the emphasis on this. He says, where real beauty resides is in here. It's in here. I'm going to go to my notes so I can hurry through this. Real beauty's on the inside. Don't let your adornment be merely outward. In other words, don't just focus on those things, but let it be, the word rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, who you really are on the inside. First, the outside, God's challenging the ladies not to so focus on that and put our attention so on that that's all we think about. I don't know, when I was growing up as a young man, my mom died when I was really young, so it was my dad, myself, and my brother at home for years. How many of y'all realize that could be just catastrophic? Raise your hand. You understand. Three guys in the house in the woods all by themselves. You could just imagine what might happen there. And then my dad remarried into my teenage years. And I'd never had sisters, but all of a sudden I had a sister who was 18. And again, we had been bachelors all those years doing our thing, however we wanted, whenever we wanted. And all of a sudden, there's this other creature that came into our house. And like the first day, I get up like I always did. I go down the hallway, take a right, go down the hallway, turn to the left, open the bathroom door, and it's locked. I'm like, Misty must be using the restroom. Go back to my room, mess around, do something, go cook breakfast, go feed the cows, you know, go to work, come back home, go back, and door's still locked. I realized something. Women don't wake up in the morning looking like what they look like right now at church. Did y'all realize that? I mean, she had a tackle box. She had like this huge tackle box. She opened up the double lid, you know, and she had all these tools in there that she used to make herself look like she did when you really saw her. I just comb my hair, you know, sometimes, and that was all, and brush my teeth, you know. Just naturally handsome, but she had to do a lot of work, I guess, you know, is what I came to the conclusion of. I mean, pulling out eyebrows, why would you do that? God gave you eyebrows for some reason. Anyway, took her a long time. And all God's saying here is, ladies, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with doing things to make yourself as beautiful as you can be. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think so. But what God's warning us of here is, don't let that be where you put all your focus. As a matter of fact, I think I can safely say this. If you spend an hour getting yourself physically ready in the morning, you need to spend 2 hours getting yourself spiritually ready in the morning. Can I get an amen? That's what he's saying. That's what God's saying. Ladies, if you're ready for me to move on, say, get out of there. Yeah, it's time to go. Number 3. By the way, that was the outside. Inside, that means you are allowing God to make you into the beautiful being that he wants you to be. Not outwardly necessarily, but inwardly. And here's how you do that. He says, first, he says the word chaste, which the word chaste used there is the word that we would use for purity. And it means that you become one who's pure. And I'm going to hurry. And then the second part of it, purity, and then secondly, modesty. That means that you learn to be gentle and quiet. Gentle and quiet. Gentle, the idea there is that you're a meek individual. You know what meek means? Meek means that you could be and do and say these things, but instead you bring all that under control. And meekness is really your power under control. That's what God calls women to be. And then the second part of that is quiet. That means that as a whole, you're not known for being this loud, a boisterous person. Instead, you're known by the fact that you have good control over every area of your life. Number 3. Learn the S word, ladies. Secondly, remember, what really matters most is not the outside, it's the inside. And then thirdly, be patient with your husband. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together as in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, the question is, why would Peter be talking to the ladies and all of a sudden throw this in about the husband? Here's why. Ladies, your husband has a very difficult task. He is called to lead you, which is, by the way, God made him that way naturally. That's in his nature. But he is also called to do it in a loving way, which is not so much in his nature. He will have to grow into that. These things that he has to do are largely learned on the job, and many times they are learned through trial and error. So the idea here is, ladies, that yes, God has called your husband to do certain things. He has called him to be a certain way, and he has called him to deal with you and to handle you and to respond to you in a certain way. But be patient with him, because he has a lot to learn. Here's what it says. It says, dwell with them according to knowledge. That word knowledge there really kind of has two different truths that it teaches us. First, it's ultimately going to teach us that this is how the husband is to relate to and deal with his wife. This is how it's supposed to happen. There's two aspects of it. First, it has to do with him having an understanding of who she is as God's creation. Now, if you're with me, say, I'm with you. Don't lose me here. This is important, fellas. This is for you. You have to have an understanding of who she is. In other words, you have to know your Bible. You got to know what God made women to be, how they are, who they are, and what God's design is for them. If not, as an uninformed person, you could foolishly push your wife into being something or doing something that she's really not made to be or do. You got to know your Bible, fellas. And then secondly, the other aspect of this dwelling with them according to knowledge is this. Not only do you have to know your Bible, but you got to know your woman. Some people have translated that word knowledge as saying that it literally means it's kind of like a scientific study. In other words, you're always studying her, fellas. You're watching her very closely, and you're trying to figure her out. Now, how many of y'all, fellas, ladies, close your eyes a minute. Raise your hand, fellas, if you say sometimes it's hard to figure them out. Just raise your hand. Be honest. Yeah, it's difficult sometimes. Yeah, it's very difficult. And you know what? If she wasn't different from you, you wouldn't like her. Can I get an amen? Because if she had hairy legs and hairy toes and ear hair and everything else, you probably wouldn't be so attracted to her. Amen, fellas? She's different from you. And it's not easy to understand her. It takes a lot of work. You got to learn her. And ladies, because that's true, God says to us here, you have to be patient with him. It takes a long time. And by the way, some women are way more complicated than others, I understand, and it takes even longer for them, you know? You got to learn them, fellas. Ladies, you got to be patient as he sets out on a journey of discovering who you are and how he should deal with you. There have been many times in my marriage relationship with my wonderful wife where I probably haven't dealt with things the right way. There have been many times where I probably have said or done things that she probably legally could have shot me and been fine. She wouldn't even got in trouble, you know. Probably so. But here's what happens. If you apply yourself to this thing of marriage, fellas, and you really try, here's what will happen. You'll figure things out. You'll learn things. You'll come to the place where you realize, you know what? I probably don't ever need to say those words again the rest of my life until I die. Can I get amen? Yeah. And it was pretty stupid for me to do that, and I never need to do it again. Yeah. I mean, we're very intelligent beings. And we catch on really quickly. And if we don't, they make sure that we do. Amen? But ladies, and I've joked there, but the gist of what verse 7 is telling us is you're going to have to allow God's grace to work in that man and to teach him who you are. And be patient. Be patient. Let God do his work in that man's life. Now, I have jumped over a lot of my notes today because I'm out of time. But I want to conclude by giving you some things to think about here. First, ladies, this world in which we live is going to constantly be telling you and literally screaming to you that if you put yourself in a place where you have submitted yourself to a man, you have destroyed your womanhood and you are of no value at all in the world and in the life in which you live. And I'm going to tell you today, listen to this to me, this is your pastor, that is a lie from the pit of hell, okay? That is a lie from the pit of hell. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? Why didn't God say husbands submit to your wives? And the answer to that is, I have no earthly idea. I don't know. But I have learned as a Christian that one thing is definitely true. However God says to do something, that is the right way. Every time. Ladies, can I get an amen there? Always. There's no question. Secondly, as a woman, you're going to be pressed by this world to put all of your focus and all of your time on what everybody sees out here. And by the way, There's no valor in or honor in jumping out of bed and doing nothing with yourself and running off throughout your day and not even in trying. There's no honor in that, and I that's not what I'm talking about. But ladies, be careful. Don't put all of your focus and attention on this physical body, because the reality is that thing is perishing. And God says here, put the focus on that which is not perishing, which is what's inside here. And fellas, just as a side note, and I know we're out of time, but this is important. If you're a single guy today, say, that's me. Somebody lied, because I know there's something in here. Listen, guys. When you come to this thing of finding a mate, and we're going to talk, I'm going to preach a sermon on that soon. I've been saying it for 2 years. I'm really going to do it. When you come to this thing of finding a mate, be very careful, because everything that glitters is not gold. Because if you just look out there and that's all that you judge her by, you're going to be in trouble. You better be way more concerned with who she is in here. Because they could be two completely different individuals. Ladies, don't fall into the trap of thinking that everything's about this physical, because that's the world's telling you that. Instead, put your focus upon the inward woman, that of the heart. And then, ladies, please, please, please be patient with your husband. I can speak very knowledgeably on this subject because I'm one of them. And by God's grace, he teaches me all the time more things about my wife that I didn't know before. And I learn her, and fresh and anew every day, I learn something about Stephanie that I didn't know before. And I thank God for that. But ladies, be patient. Give him a little bit of slack. Learn to forgive, even when he does something completely stupid. Amen? Learn to forgive. And always, 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 let him, help him, be the leader in your home. That is what God has called Christian women to be and to do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.